All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FYF Friday on The Usual Suspects, and we're happy you're taking us along for the ride wherever you may be. And by the way, if you are somewhere within driving distance of Nick's Place, right here, 2713 Rocky Ridge, between the Beltway and the Galleria, you should stop on in. Barry's here next to me.
Bud here.
Nick back at the station. A plethora of fine people sitting in front of us and more waiting to come in.
So
for the
packed.
Fantastic food for lunch. You are just...
It's crowded in here. Hey, everyone, settle down.
All right, the line is already about 50 people down the block waiting for shirts.
I will say, no, so the shirts are here. Yeah. If you want a Usual Suspect shirt, they're here. We're already running out of certain sizes because there were people here when I got here with the shirts that were asking for shirts. We're out of 3Xs. We know. I mean, it's our listeners. We're the only show that has a weight loss challenge. So you knew the 3Xs were going to go right away. That was gone.
Clarence, it's going to be tough.
Somehow, yeah. Sorry, Clarence. You're out of luck.
It's going to be tight in more ways than
somehow
one.
Somehow we've given out almost all the mediums. I don't know if Charlie took them all or what, but we have
took
like
all
one
the smalls,
medium
not
left.
The mediums.
Oh, Nicholas, that
Nick,
wasn't nice
shots
at all.
Fired.
So we've got larges and extra larges, but we do have plenty of those. So if you want some, show up and hang out. And even if you don't want a shirt, come hang out.
This you got Usual Suspect shorts for some of the people here?
No.
No?
What? No.
Okay, I don't know. I thought
talking about the
yeah.
No. No.
Okay.
See,
no.
You brought it up, not me.
Hey,
I just want to
say
point
what?
It out.
I just said.
Okay. It's going
to
be one of those days.
We're off to a fine
days,
start. Everybody coming off a great day yesterday. We had a lot of fun. Mo Ammer was fantastic. Great
was
to
fun.
Have him in studio, so we enjoyed that. And now we're going to enjoy Nick's Place up until 4 o'clock. So if you're looking to start the weekend early or you're just out and about around the Galleria area looking for something to do, we'll stop in here to Nick's Place. The food is fantastic. The drinks are great, too. And, of course, we'll be here to kind of entertain you and take you through. So what's got going on there?
Well, one, I don't have internet, so there's that.
So we
that.
Got that working for us, which
yeah,
is nice.
Yeah, so there's that. But I don't need internet. I did have a question for you.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we don't go right into the sports, and that's okay. and we will, because we're going to talk Texans, because that game last night, I
Woo!
Did not
was
watch.
That, hot? That was fantastic.
But a friend of mine, and I want to get your thoughts on this, and Nicholas, I want to get your thoughts too. But a friend of mine in another city.
Okay.
In another state.
Yep.
His mother passed. Okay. Had the funeral yesterday. Very somber. But then, so I knew the funeral was going on. But I'm on my Facebook, and he took a picture of his mom in the casket and put it on Facebook. And I was like, yo, that's kind of creepy. I didn't leave anything like that. I was just like, oh, you can like and heart and laugh. And you got to be careful. If you accidentally laugh, use the laughing emoji, that's bad. You're not going to have a friend anymore.
Right.
But I made very sure I did the sad emoji. Not angry either, just sad. Although angry would have been appropriate. Because where are we on this? To me, that's way too creepy.
You and I have talked about this in the past.
Have
so,
we?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
When my dad died, my mom, unbeknownst to any of us, reached into her purse and took a picture, but it was never for public consumption.
Okay. It was like
she
a Polaroid.
She wanted that last remembrance.
Not even on the fridge, right?
No,
she just wanted to put
it
in.
And wanted to have it there.
Yeah, I get
think
that.
Posting it on social media takes it to a whole new not okay
when,
level.
I can tell you this. I love my mom to death. That's a poor choice
there.
Of words.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
When she passes, and it will. I'm not Nostradamus here, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and say eventually she's going to pass. Mm-hmm. I will not be taking pictures of her and posting it on the internet.
No, sir.
I just feel like that's a weird place to go.
I think that takes it to a whole new level that I don't think, you know, and it's one thing when you think about if that's, you want family memories or for whatever reason you want to go through something like that. It's another to, like, completely catch everyone that's a friend of yours on social media off guard and go, hey, let's see what happened in the world today with all my friends. Whoa, hey, there's a dead person.
There's his dead mom.
Yep, not
now,
doing that.
I will say I was proud of him that he didn't take a selfie with her. Like, if he would have been like, yo, mom, check it out. And done the selfie style picture with her, but it was just more of a picture of the coffin and the open casket and the mom in there with her eyes closed. That's a little much. Nicholas, where do you fall on this?
Totally creepy. And I'm okay with I guess the picture and not for public consumption, like Joel said. I do feel like we did talk about something like this before, but it was something like way creepier, like someone kept their dead family member like in a lot, not they were dead, but they still lived with them in the house, and I think that's the story that sparked the conversation the last time. I believe that's what sparked one with me too. I mean, I think that's what it was. I think we were talking about some guy who could not get over a dead family member and literally kept the body in the house for weeks on end until he eventually got caught, and it was like his way of getting over the death in his family. So it's creepy nonetheless, but at this point, nothing surprises me.
No, I'll tell you what, because the other one that just sparked with me was on the news the other night, and it's a tragic story of, I think, a young, early 20s or teenaged girl who was pregnant at the time that the father of the unborn child decided to murder both of them, and they announced on the news that as part of the funeral, it was going to be, I believe, open casket, and it was going to be...
Open stomach.
No, they were going to take the baby out and have it in mom's arms. Oh, yeah, so that they could be together forever. And I'm going, you can do all that without having to do any of that so that it's visible or anything else.
So they were going to have to cut the baby out.
Yes, they said they were going to cut the baby out.
Oh, no. I'm very much opposed to that. I don't even want to see dead bodies as it is. It's creepy to me.
Caskets at funerals has always been awkward.
It's kind of weird. But man, you add a baby to the mix in the arms and you're posing
them.
Don't
like it.
No, that's wow. Where was this? Was this in like
Houston?
Houston? I was gonna say I was gonna say something like Georgia. That
Florida
sounds like
where you would assume.
Yeah, or Mississippi, something like that.
Yeah, no. So I saw it on the news the other night.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm very opposed to that.
I'm with you. Completely.
I don't like that at all.
So that, let's try to upbeat this thing a little bit because that's not a very good thought there.
Yeah, well, so I didn't mean to start us off on a low
note. Okay.
But it
We're
freaked
both wearing
me
black
out
today.
It did freak me out though. I'm like, why would you post your mom like that?
No, I
don't get it.
How well do you
know
the person?
Fairly well.
Can't do that DM and go, bro, man. I know you're
no,
deep
I don't
in
know him
feels,
that well.
Okay.
No, I don't know him that well. Did you watch any football last night? What football did you watch?
You're gonna laugh. I knew you were gonna bring this up, but you know what? I did not. I peeped the Texans for about a series, and
long?
Yeah, I couldn't stomach any more of that. I watched a little bit of college. But I'll tell you this, the game of the night, without question, and you are going to laugh, was the Katy Tigers against the North Shore Mustangs. And you know what? Here's the other thing that's going to screw with your mind. It was on ESPN.
You're such a weirdo.
ESPN's game, one of the games that wasn't all college, ESPN was covering Katy versus North Shore.
Was it on the Ocho?
Nope.
Was it on ESPN 2, 3?
It was either 2 or the U.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was definitely.
Why would it be on the U?
I don't know. I'll tell you why. Because
it's high school. It's
because
not supposed to be on ESPN.
It doesn't matter. On both teams, basically everyone starting for both teams either has a D1 scholarship or they're going to get one.
Well, you know where I fall in high school football.
I do know where you fall.
If you don't go to the school and your kid doesn't play on the team, I don't think grown men should be watching high school kids play football. That's just where I fall on it. That is not a popular opinion in this city.
Not.
I get it.
Why wouldn't you go to a stadium to see a game in which you
can
witness?
But you watched it. Why you watched a bunch of high school kids play football together.
Damn right. The number one running back, the number one overall player in the country is a running back from North Shore. I wanted to see what all the hype was about. North Shore has a lineman that's like 6'8", 3-something. That's going to Alabama.
It's because they put the steroids in the milk.
So you
want to
see these kind? I want to see these kids play the game and say, "Hey, you know what? You saw them before they played on the next level, and then when you see college football, you can go, man, this kid's really developed since he was a high school kid, or maybe he just hasn't panned out." That's why you watch that kind of stuff.
No, you just wait until they go to college. Why are you waiting? Why do you want to watch young kids
develop?
What did
you watch instead?
Why are you trying to watch high school boys develop is what I want to know.
I'm watching for the football attributes.
I don't know. It sounds
Bart,
like you're
really
trying
not
to
that
watch.
Funny, I don't think.
I feel like you're watching young men develop.
Yeah, Jerry Sandusky.
Troublesome. Ooh, Joel Sandusky. Dang.
Ooh.
Okay, Nikki.
It's the only thing I had to add to the conversation, sir. Sorry.
Yeah. That's it. You know what, Joel? Nick, it was a very good ad. Well done.
The next time you and Barry get together with a bag of oranges, I'll be sure to steer clear. How about that?
Oh, that's a good.
So,
time.
What did you watch if you didn't watch the high school game?
I watched my Aggies gig them. I really did. Yeah,
they covered.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah.
That last touchdown, I was like, "Ooh, boy, that was." Yeah, was it 33? We said.
Yeah, 33
minus 10,000 on the money line.
Were you impressed?
I was impressed eventually. I was not impressed at the beginning because at one point there was I think it was first and goal, and it took them three tries from the one or the two to punch it in against Texas State. You think in SEC football that's a good sign if you can't punch it in against Texas State on the one and it takes you three tries? I mean, they did get in. But twice they got stuffed before that worried me. I was like, ooh. And you know what? This is not a small A&M team. I was thinking about that after the game. This is an A&M team now that I think, as far as, like, physicality,
yeah,
they finally have caught up with the SEC. When A&M went from the Big 12 to the SEC,
right,
I didn't feel like their players, and I know you're really big into young men developing, but I didn't feel like their players were fully developed. They didn't.
You're the
have,
one that just said punch it in. So,
but they didn't.
Letting
I didn't,
you know.
Like, you get, when they went to the SEC, that was big boy football. They were big physical athletes in the SEC, and they had fast Big 12 guys. But now I feel like when you look at this A&M squad, they look like they belong in the SEC physically. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I finally feel like they've caught up with the SEC.
Kellen Mond?
I was impressed with Kellen Mond.
I really was.
Yes.
Okay.
I was impressed with the way he was able to throw on the run and read the defense. And now again, it's Texas State defense. We're going to see. Right. We're going to know what this Aggie team is, obviously, next week when they play Clemson.
I'm not
expecting them to win, but I think you're going to know how SEC play is going to go based on how they react and what guys like Kellen Mond do and the decisions that they make.
Trevor Lawrence didn't look good last night.
He didn't.
But, boy, they got a running back and they got a team, and that's going to be one hell of a test. There's no doubt about
that.
Yeah,
I'm going to see what this Aggie defense can do, the offensive line. Like, I want to see these matchups with Clemson because physically Clemson is as big, you know, physically as they come in college football.
Definitely is going to be tested. So we'll be interested to see that. All right, if we'd like to see you, if you're interested in seeing us, stop by Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. We're going to be here till 4 o'clock. We're going to have a lot of fun, so hopefully you can stop on by. In the meantime, before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good friends at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff have done a fantastic job. I switched about 3 years ago, and I just renewed. And I renewed simply because of the fact that they have saved thousands of dollars for me since I had my last energy provider. And they continue to show me the savings because I get weekly updates and emails. I can see it on my bill, and I know that they're going to take care of me. If I ever have an issue or I call, you're always going to get a human being on the phone and not just an automated system. And they're going to walk you through everything they can do. If you want to check them out, it's infuseenergy.com or 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and we go from there. By the way, 5 out of 5 stars on the PUCT, or Public Utilities Commission of Texas, rating. Can't get any better than that. That's the kind of service you need. That's why you go to Infuse. Simply put, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Nick's Place, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Eventually, I get through. I was performing in London. This guy in the front row, I look at him. I was like, excuse me, sir. What part of England are you from? He loses his mind. He's like, oh, I'm not British. I'm Australian. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. And all these Australians popped up like little minions. Like, I didn't realize it was so offensive to mistake an Australian for being British. I just looked at him. I was like, my God, man, the British flag is inside of your flag. It's in the top left-hand corner, FaceTiming your flag.
So our guy, if you missed it yesterday, you missed a heck of a show, and Mo Ammer was in the studio. He is in town this weekend. He is a funny dude. And it was great to actually meet him and have him hang out with us a little bit. So we made sure he is our comedian of the week on an FEF Friday.
Yeah, improvtx.com if you want to go. He's there August 30th, which is today through Sunday, September 1st. There are some tickets left. I think he said they were sold out of VIP, so you can forget that. But, yeah, there's some tickets. Go check him out at Real Mo Ammer on Instagram and Twitter. And, I mean, the list of credits is just ridiculous. But yep, he's got the Netflix special out, The Vagabond, working on a new hour. Obviously, tours with Dave Chappelle. So make sure you go and support one of Houston's own this weekend at the Improv. I'd love to see him sell out all the shows. That
would
be awesome.
I think he will. I just think that people are going to catch on to it. And everybody that listened yesterday really enjoyed it. So
yeah, a lot of good feedback having him on for a couple segments. So that was cool.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, aside from me watching high school football and you watching the Aggies.
I watched the Aggies. I watched a little bit of that Utah-BYU game. That was a little scary for the Utes to start. They struggled a little bit early with BYU. They turned it on at the end, and I saw one guy on ESPN. I don't remember his name, but he came out and said Utah would be in the playoffs.
I heard the same thing. I heard the same thing.
You, sir, I want what you're smoking. I'll have what he's having because you are on crack, obviously. I mean, if you're going to struggle in the first half against BYU, I realize Utah's talented. Don't get me wrong. They're talented. They're probably worthy of being around where they're at, but I just don't know if with all of the other quality teams that exist – In football right now?
Not just in football, Bear. You have to look at their conference. Because if you look at their conference and you just look at one of the other channels and you see UCLA and Chip Kelly and this whole resurrection of the Bruin program getting just absolutely manhandled by Cincinnati and USC not being in the preseason top 25 for the first time in like 14 years, you realize that conference is not very good.
No, and I get that they're 14th, right? Mm-hmm. But I still think Oregon is better than them in that conference. We're going to see what the Huskies are made of. I think the Huskies might be a little bit better. Stanford, you never know. I know Stanford's not ranked that high this year, but I think Stanford might be able to surprise some people as well. And like you said, if the conference isn't good and the Pac-12 has really been down, if you go and look at the clusters of teams that are ranked for each of the conferences, the worst of the Big Five is the Pac-12, I think.
I completely agree.
Yeah, so I'm not sold on Utah, and I thought it was kind of crazy that they're out, because I think you're going to see Clemson. I think you're going to see somebody from the Big 12, whether it's Texas or OU.
Big 10.
I think you're going to see somebody from the Big 10, and I think you're going to see somebody from the SEC. So how is anyone from the Pac-12 going to compete with the conference champions from those other four?
I completely agree.
I don't see how they do it.
I look at the level of competition in the Pac-12, and I'm like, look, they're not there yet. I don't know if they can get there. They've said that Helton's under fire already at SC after 2 years ago having a really good season. The rumor is Urban Meyer may be in the mix there to get back into coaching and get back in a market like Southern California and USC. So it'll be interesting to see if there are other moves that can be made to resurrect the conference. But if you take Chip Kelly, you take the money they paid out, the fact that he had a reputation at Oregon, and before he tried the NFL game, he was outstanding as a head football coach in college. But he doesn't have the talent to execute what he wants to execute offensively. And they're already starting to clamor for how long are they going to keep this guy.
That's correct.
He is.
Yeah. Going back here. If I were to just pick, because I know we're not going to really do pick. But, I mean, I'm looking at the different conferences. I would probably take Ohio State.
Yep.
I'd probably take OU. Definitely Clemson in the ACC. And then now you got to pick who you think wins the SEC. Do you think it's Georgia? Do you think it's Alabama?
LSU.
Is there LSU? Yeah, do you think LSU is? Is A&M going to surprise some people?
If you go with Vegas, Vegas says that it's split right down the middle right now between Clemson and Bama, and that was before Bama lost their starting linebacker. But at the same time, from an odds perspective, they say the two teams that will be there at the end are the ones that seem to always be there, and that being Alabama and Clemson. So then you look at the Big 12 and said, who's going to represent them?
Don't sleep on Florida, although I didn't think that win was too impressive.
Yeah, their quarterback has a little to prove to me.
I honestly think if I were going to pick in the SEC, I feel like that this might be Georgia's year.
They got a good team.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, we'll see. The only thing that worries me about Georgia is the receiving core. And they're young. They lost a bunch of guys. So does Fromm have the weapons required to win the SEC? But I think that's probably easier than some of the other issues you might be having, like with Bama. I think that their defense, they're going to be wrong, but you know, they've had some key injuries and lost some guys for the year. So I think that makes them a little more ripe for the picking. If they are ripe for the picking, now might be the time.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. But again, when you factor all that in, the first thing out of your mouth is to say, well, that means that the Pac-12 is out. Utah, yeah. I don't know.
And there's some talent in the Pac-12, and maybe we're crapping on them a little too hard.
But there is some talent, people too.
But it's all talent. It's all bottom loaded in the top 25, and I think it's just that they. We'll see. I mean, I could see teams in the ACC finishing ahead of a lot of the Pac-12.
I think the bigger thing too is it's not only the teams in the conference, but then that's where you really look hard at the non-conference schedule and go, man, I'm telling you what, I don't think they're going to play enough quality talent. It's one thing if you're Clemson and your conference is down, but you're non-conference, you're playing A&M, and people know talent-wise what you have on the roster, and then you say, well, what, same thing with Utah? No chance.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what is going to happen? You're going to get cash back if you use GetUpside. That's going to happen, and if you're not using GetUpside right now, you are crazy. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you should go out and download it right now and put it on your phone. It's completely free. There's no commitments. There's no signing up and having to say, I'm going to be on this for a year. You just put in your info. You log in. You start using GetUpside. You start getting cash back. And if you don't like money, then, hey, GetUpside's not for you. But I love money. I think you love money. That's why I know you're going to love GetUpside. Use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That'll get you extra cash back when you use GetUpside for the first time at the pump, because that's what GetUpside does. It gets you cash back when you fill up your tank. Get your cash back when you fill up your belly. There's over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston where you can get up to 35% cash back. And, yes, those deals do exist inside the app. There's over 500 gas stations where you can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. And, yes, those deals do exist as well. We've had listeners text us, tweet us, call in, and tell us where these deals exist. But you can't get the deals if you're not using the money. And these businesses want your money. That's why they're inside of GetUpside. So that's why you should be using it too. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back from Nick's Place. You should be here. If you're not and you're in the neighborhood, get on by. You can pick up a Usual Suspects t-shirt, hang out with us. The beautiful people have arrived. There is a lady that looks very much like Beyonce sitting here. Oh, that's just our friend Charlotte, along with the beautiful people from our office. Charlie, of course. The ladies, Todd,
wow.
Everybody's here. So stop on by. Brother Bear, my man Lance. Is over there bellied up to the bar starting the weekend early.
You put Charlie in the beautiful people category?
You know what? Kids have rights.
Oh, man. That ain't right. He's ignoring you so hard right
now. It's fine. It's the same thing we do to his show. Tune it out.
I have so many questions for you. I have so much to talk about.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
But I have questions for you, too.
All right, what is it?
Because, well, we had Cody Stutes in yesterday.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
When we had Cody in and he was doing our Twin Peaks weekly look at the Texans, we were talking about the Jadeveon Clowney situation. And in the process of talking all that, I said, look, we've thrown out a lot of names from the primary target in terms of a trade partner, and that was Miami. Tunsil's a guy that everybody's talking about, Laremy Tunsil, the offensive lineman. Is there a chance? And he said, no, absolutely not. The only thing that there's a chance for is a draft pick. But then overnight, some rumors surfaced that the Texans were willing to offer not only Jadeveon Clowney.
Okay, let me stop you there.
Yeah.
Not willing to. The sources are saying that they did.
That's just crazy to me. They offered up
yep.
Jadeveon Clowney and a future number one.
A first-round pick.
A number one.
Plus Clowney, who is also a first-round pick. A number one pick.
Overall number one was Clowney
for
Laremy Tunsil.
For Laremy Tunsil. And the Dolphins said no.
That's crazy, too.
I think both sides are dumb.
So we've got,
the
remake of Dumb and Dumber. It's just who's on the toilet and who's going to get off the pot. And evidently Miami was willing to get off the pot because they didn't want any part of that. And if you're a rebuilding Dolphin team, you already have Xavier Howard. So you have one of the best corners in the game, at least if you judge it based on his financial status. And you could add a Clowney, and you could add another number one pick, and you're not giving up any picks.
So
I don't know why.
Here was Brian Flores' reason for turning down the trade and not wanting to do it. He said that there was a rumor going around that the Dolphins locker room said that if they trade Tunsil, there would be a revolt.
Because they would revolt
because Tunsil was that important to the team. Now I do get it. If you're trying to rebuild. You start one of the cornerstones of a rebuild would be a left tackle.
Sure.
So trading a butt. Also, one of the cornerstones of a rebuild would be a pass rush and draft picks. And you're getting two of those. So you're trading one cornerstone for two cornerstones, which is why I think if you are rebuilding and you can add, you can add a first round pick. You're going to suck.
Right.
So you're going to have a high first round pick.
That's what I mean. Yes.
I don't think Laremy Tunsil makes this team great as far as the Texans go. So you're probably going to get a decent pick from them if it was this year's pick.
Well, and the thing is, it's not like you're throwing Josh Rosen out there and he's got future potential that you don't want to damage. You're throwing Fitzmagic out there and wondering if there's any Harry Houdini left in him.
By the way, the Intelligent Viking was named the starter.
Yeah.
How bad is that for the Dolphins? It's like, I feel bad for them. And why are you not worried about trading Laremy Tunsil at this point? If your starting quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick, you are in a full-on rebuild.
No doubt about
it.
And because of the picks you were mentioning that we talked about, the bottom line is you want that to be as high a pick as possible. So guess what? You don't want to go and knock set the world on fire and knock everybody on their rear ends. And the fact of the matter is, with putting it up there, you're probably not going to do that anyway. Like you said, Fitzpatrick and the guys that they have, Stills doesn't want to be there. Parker's underachieved at both receiver positions. So the fact of the matter is, when you're looking at what they have and what they want to be, you want to suck. You want to lose games. You want to get a high draft pick.
Check this out.
I just don't get it.
This is what the Dolphins have for next year. Now, let's assume that the pick that was offered with Clowney was for the 2020 draft. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. They already have their one. They have two twos, a three, two fours.
Really?
A five, two sixes, and two sevens. So now you would add another one. You would have two ones and two twos. You're in the middle of a rebuild.
Even if you don't go past the fours.
It's stupid.
You're going to get quality players at all of those high picks.
You're going to have four picks in the first two rounds.
It's fantastic.
And as bad as they're probably going to be this year, finishing at the bottom of the league, you're going to have three picks within the first 35 or 40.
And then when you look at because you mentioned new coach Brian Flores and the fact that he came from New England, he wants his type players on that roster. You've already seen kind of a seismic shift getting underway where he's moving out guys that might have been there in the past, some veteran offensive linemen and others and defensive linemen where he just said, you're not fitting my style. So what better way to get your type players in there and groom them than to get all those high picks and add another one? And, oh, by the way, add an impactful defensive player in his prime in Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, I don't understand why the Dolphins would turn this down. Now, let's turn to the Texans. I don't understand why you're giving away picks to give away a player. That also doesn't make any sense to me. I know you're trying to get something for him, but if you lose him, if you just lose him, you're going to get a compensatory pick probably as high as the third round. So you're going to get something in return. Maybe not a one or a two or a cornerstone left tackle, but you would get something. So why are you actually giving away more to get something back? And in the case of Tunsil, I kind of understand why you tried to sweeten the pot. But with a one?
Yeah, I don't get it because the other thing I don't understand. I mean, unless the dialogue, because Bill O'Brien is busy with practice and other things, it isn't that consistent where you could say, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Clowney on the table. If you want more, you tell me what you're looking for, and then we'll start negotiating. But don't go to them and say, hey, by the way, if the former number one overall pick in the draft isn't enough, I'm going to throw in another number one just for you, just to say, hey, we like you guys a lot, and let's make a deal. No.
Now, here's the third absurd thing about this whole part, is the Dolphins said no and then asked for more. So they said, you need to sweeten the pot. Clowney and a first-round pick isn't enough for Laremy Tunsil. We need more. We need you to add another draft pick. Now, thank God that you know, Bill O'Brien came to his senses and said, that's too much. But, I mean, this not only is this whole thing bad enough, but somebody pointed out in an article – it's bad enough that the Texans don't have a GM, but Clowney also doesn't have an agent. So this is just complete disarray. I mean, this is fubard. There's no better way to put it.
I know what that means.
Yeah, it is fubard on every path that this has gone.
And here's the other thing. So I want to read you the quote that Bill O'Brien had regarding Jadeveon Clowney and the question of would they welcome him back. And his answer was, and I quote, anytime he wants to come in and sign the tender, we can sit down and talk and go through all those things. Again, it's all about what's best for the team. You know what he just said to you, Barry? He wants you to come in and sign the deal so that we can control where we send you next because that's in the best interest of the team. It doesn't say, hey, sign the tender, come on in, we'll talk about if we can reconcile some things and get you to play defense for at least one more year for us and put you on the other side of J.J. Watt and let the defense run rapid. You know what that says? It says instead, it goes, come on in, sign your tender so we can control your destiny, and then we can ship you out as fast as we can to get as much as we can in return.
Yeah, not a very smart thing to say.
No. And if you're Clowney, would you do that?
No, I'm not giving up my leverage. That's the only thing he has. He doesn't have an agent.
Right.
Right? He doesn't have a contract. So all he has really is his leverage. That is the only thing. He is negotiating from a position of strength, and as soon as you give away that leverage, you're done. You're going to end up, you know, and maybe he doesn't want to go to Miami. I know
he said it. He said it again. There was a rumor out there yesterday that for the second time he said, yeah, I met with the Dolphins, but yet it's not his top choice. His top choices still remain Seattle as being one of them, the Eagles being another, and then the teams that are kind of distant third and fourth are the Jets and the Redskins. Nowhere in it has he said anything about wanting to go to Miami. And so it's not just about the money, which everybody kind of assumed right from the get-go. He's going to be picky. If he signs the franchise tag, there is no more room to be picky because now you're at the mercy of Bill O'Brien and his staff to decide where your destination is going to be for at least the next year to 2 years. Otherwise, you hold out. And until the money starts really starting to irritate you and what you're losing and walking away from the table with, then you hang in there to say, hey, look, at a certain time, you cut your losses, I cut mine, but I want to go where I want to go.
I just – this could not be going any worse.
Nope.
I mean, it really could not be going any worse, and I don't – by the way, did you see this video that came out with J.J. Watt? He was interviewing some players on the sideline.
I knew he was going to do that last night, but I couldn't stomach the game enough to hold out.
So the long and the short of it is, because we don't need to hash it out, but basically he was talking to some defensive players, and he's like, if you could play any other position, what would you play? And they were like, oh, one of them, I forget who it was, but he's like, I want to play quarterback because I got a cannon for an arm. Somebody's like, man, I would play running back. And then somebody else said something on offense, I'd play receiver. And then they all looked at JJ, and they said, what would you play? And he goes, well, since it's this team, I'd probably have to play offensive line to protect you guys.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then they were like, the video cuts, and then it comes back, and he goes, huh, wrap it up? Oh, you want me to wrap it up? Okay. Like, they were like, nope, stop, that's not good. Now, the one thing I thought about when I saw that immediately was, yeah, that's 1,000% accurate. Thank you for the honesty. The only saving grace that he'll have, and I bet you this will come out if it becomes a big deal, is that, no, I meant the team of defensive players, since that's the team I would be protecting.
Oh, the spin doctors in the PR department are already working on that angle of it.
But here's
the other thing. Do you think for an instant, today or tomorrow, Bill O'Brien stumbles down the hallway to find JJ to have a one-on-one about that? I don't think he talks to him. I think there are guys on this team that
really?
Bill will go
oh,
after.
Oh, no, I don't think
I don't,
so.
I think Listen. Bill realizes, of all the people he thinks he's bigger than in this city, and obviously he also still thinks that football is king and the Texans are above yeah. everybody else, as we heard other comments from him. But the bottom line is, if he can think he's bigger than a lot of people in that organization and outside of it, you're not bigger than J.J. Watt.
Oh, see, I disagree with you. I think Bill O'Ego is out of control.
You got to pick your battles. I don't think he wins that battle with J.J. Watt.
Well, he's not going to win it, but he'll take it on because he thinks he's that important too. He's the coach. J.J. Watt is the player. That's the pecking order that Bill O'Brien has in his head. I promise you that.
All right.
Hey, guys, if you like money, we talked about GetUpside. Let's talk about MyBookie because football season is definitely here. College football got underway. We're going to start seeing some NFL games. And you know what that means? It's time to bet. It's time to win. It's time to get paid. It's time to do all that at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has odds on every game and more prop bets than any sports book out there. And look, absolutely nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to pay you faster. You get your cash when you want it, and I cannot stress to you how important that is. There are a lot of people in this business that will take your money. But when you request that money, it's going to be difficult to get it back, man. Not with MyBookie and not with MyBookie.ag. And did you know you can bet on games after the kickoff? Well, you absolutely can. You can parlay your picks to score a huge profit on a small wager. You can do all that at MyBookie. And look, there are a lot of no-name sports books out there, and I don't want you playing there. If you're going to bet this season, bet smart. Bet smart with your picks and bet smart with MyBookie.ag. And if you sign up today, MyBookie's going to double your first deposit. How cool is that? They're going to give you free money, up to $1,000 in free money that you can put on your favorite teams or on the bets that you like. And, you know, I will say this. Follow Jerry Bow, our ESPN's own Jerry Bow, if you want to do that. He's sponsored by MyBookie as well, and he's got great picks for you if you're getting started. But also, if you're getting started, use promo code RADIO. Right now, they're going to get that $1,000 doubled offer for you. If you use promo code radio, mybookie.ag, promo code radio, you play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Nick's Place. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go. And if you're on the go today and you're driving around town, why wouldn't you be at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, right here between inside the Beltway heading towards the Galleria? Stop by, hang out. Yeah, the promotions team's here with all kinds of other goodies and things you could win. Charlie Polillo is currently signing autographs, kissing babies, and taking selfies. And he's number one in my book as well. And in the meantime, if you also want a Usual Suspects T-shirt, we have those for you. We have Crystal Collins trying to make sure people do not sign up for the Dallas Cowboys fan club here in Houston. There's lots of good things.
By the way, speaking of the T-shirts, Michelle Carnes? Michelle on Twitter said, Barry, Joel, and Nick, I can't make it to Nick's Place. But I'd like a shirt. Can I buy one? Nope. We have very strict orders from Courtney and the promotions team that in order to get one of the shirts, you have to come to one of the remotes. So we're not selling them. We're not mailing them to you. We've had people asking, hey, can you just mail me one? I tore my Achilles.
You were doing that, right? Didn't you get the address?
No.
No?
Bring your ass to a remote to get a shirt. And I will say this, based on what happened already today, you better get here early next time because we ran out of sizes real fast.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know what? I was kidding with Courtney about that, but we said we were going to follow the rules and do what she asked. And I said, but you know what's funny? For all the people that said I'd buy one or, you know, hopefully if you don't run out, I said, I really believe that whether we sponsor it or find another way that we could do another run of these things. And she goes, you know what? I do too. So, you know, we can't promise that. We can consider that. If you want to sponsor that, we'd love to have you. But at the same time, they're going to go fast. So, like Barry said, if we're out and about, stop by and see us because that's the best way to say you're a suspect.
Yeah, let's get a few texts in.
Okay.
So somebody said our comedian of the week is Mo Ammer, who joined us yesterday. We're featuring clips from him. But somebody said, I'm headed to town from Port Arthur just to watch Mo Ammer tonight. Shout out to Barry for telling us about him. Oh, that makes me happy to hear that.
I don't like the last part, but I'm with you.
I do like when we feature these guys and then they get fans from being featured. That makes it all worth it. That's why we do it.
Right.
Somebody said, I saw Mo with Dave. That dude is hella funny. And it's even better that he's a hometown guy. I fell in love with Mo after I watched his special a year ago. So a lot of love for Mo Ammer on the text line. And then someone said, speaking of that, have you watched Dave Chappelle's new special yet? Now, I know you have not.
I have not. I know you have.
I have watched it.
I saw a lot of the backlash
A lot of controversy, a lot of hurt feelings, people getting upset. There were many, many threads on my Facebook feed from comics and non-comics and people getting upset about this special. Look, at the end of the day, it's jokes. There was one particular lady on a friend of the show, Billy D. Washington's thread, that said it was very offensive because her daughter is transgender. And Dave had a whole joke about LGBTQ transgenders and this whole – and it's a great bit. I highly recommend watching the whole special. As a comic – It was a breath of fresh air in a very politically correct environment that we're operating in right now. Because Dave didn't care. He didn't hold back. But she basically said, it bothered me because my daughter is transgender. And here's the problem I have with that. You can't get offended for somebody else. I've told the story on the show where I do a joke about deaf people, right? And at my show, I had a man come up to me after the show. This is when I was in Minnesota. A man came up to me after the show and he said, hey, you were really funny, but I didn't like that deaf joke. That was very offensive. My daughter's deaf, and my wife and I didn't like it. And I was like, well, where's your wife? Why didn't she come over here and tell me too? He goes, well, she kind of sent me over. And I was like, so were you offended or was your wife offended? He goes, I thought you were funny. She was offended. And I was like, okay, is your daughter here? And he said, no. And I said, bro, you can't go and get offended for somebody else. And I told him, I've had deaf people at my shows that have come up to me and said, that was the funniest joke you told all night because
I remember you
it was
that.
Personal yep. to yep. me. I've had people come up to me and tell me their parents are deaf and they thought it was hilarious and they can't wait to get home and tell them about it. So stop getting offended for other people is my message. If it offended you because you felt like you were the target specifically, I understand. If you're transgender and it offended you, fine. That's your right to be offended by it. But my problem is there are these social justice warriors that are getting offended for other people because it makes them feel good, like they're some sort of hero that's saving all of these different, you know, people that Dave was talking about.
It's
in these
jokes. Very valid point, because the thing would be like saying if you and I were doing a show and I decided to tell everybody why I was offended for you,
yeah,
without letting you voice your own personal opinion, and you just went, Joel, I got this.
I got this. I'm not even offended. It didn't bother me for the reason you think.
Right.
It bothered me for this other reason. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. And I asked the lady, I said, well, were you offended? Because this is what I told the guy when he came up to me in Minnesota. I said, was your wife offended when I did my fat jokes? He was like, oh, no, those were funny. I was like, oh, okay. So was your wife offended when I made fun of my wife and talked crap about my wife on stage? No, that was funny. Oh, okay. When I did those racial jokes, was she offended by that? No. Oh, okay. So I see how it is. You're just going to selectively get offended for certain people, but not all people. We can make fun of just about everybody, just not you or your people.
Well, and I think that's also a kind of a sidebar from social media. People have got the confidence now to just speak up whenever, however they see fit, and for whoever, without really thinking it through, just like they are when they send that tweet or they put that message or they post that post where they haven't really thought it through. And then based on backlash, they got to take it down.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of blank juice that I'm talking about. I mean, when you go ahead and you make statements like that, and then, you know, you find out that it's going to have just
very
horrendous
nice.
Backlash, when you yank it down, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
Because the statement's already been made.
Can't unring the bell.
That's right.
Say. And what's funny is I could see where people would be at home watching Dave, because he does this one joke about where he's doing the Chappelle show, and he uses a gay slur, the F word. And they say, you can't use that word. And he says, why? I can use the N-word, but you won't let me say that word. She said, well, you're not gay. And he goes, well, I'm not an N-word either. And I thought, now a lot of people are going to laugh at that joke. So are you going to be offended for all the people that are involved with that joke, or are you just going to sit back and laugh at it? That's my thing, man. This selective butthurtness is just over the top now.
But again, I say it's a product of social media.
It's jokes, man. Relax.
It's society and social media in an evil spin that gets everybody to feel like they can say whatever they want and whatever they say matters.
You know, I get there are reasons and times to be offended. there are things that people will do and say in different types of life that are offensive. But a comedian's job is to point out the weirdness that we live in and try to get you to laugh at it.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of times people forget that. Like, if there are certain celebrities or public figures that are going to say things that could be offensive. I mean, I'll just go way back to, like, Don Imus. You remember that whole thing?
Sure do. And,
what was it? What did he call him? Nappy-headed hoes or whatever?
Yep.
Okay.
About the women's basketball
players.
Yeah.
So to me, Don's not trying to – he's not on stage writing a bit. He just said something that he shouldn't have said. There's a difference between that and making a social point by using humor and the joke landing on everybody. Because
sure.
If you listen to a special, somebody said it the best. It's like Dave just saved us from ourselves by saying, everybody's going to catch these hands. I don't care who you are. At one point in the special, he does two impressions. The first one was about like writing the Constitution. But the second one, he goes, what is this impression? And he says, basically, I don't know. I'm going to find something that you said. And he starts like, I'm going to find something you said that's offensive and make it come back to you. And it may not be now. It may be 20 years from now. But I'm going to find you. I'm going to break you down. I'm going to make you look bad. And the crowd's like, oh, that's got to be Trump. He's like, no, it's y'all. It's the audience. That's you. It was a great point. And they laughed. But literally that joke was the whole point of his special.
Yeah, no,
by
Nick,
far.
Nick, have you seen it?
Have I seen what?
The new Chappelle
no,
special?
No, the new Netflix? No, I have not seen the special, no.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I feel like that's the one platform that I've said it on this show before. That's the one platform where you should be able to get away with almost anything. I mean, if you can't get away with it when you're given a platform to entertain, I think a part of the problem, Barry, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you have so much time, so much real estate as a comic when you perform that it's going to seem to somebody in the audience that they're not picking on everybody. And it's only fair if they pick on everybody. And in reality, they can't pick on everybody. Not every set will allow them to pick on transgenders or people, racial jokes or cultural jokes or anything like that. And it's not always meant to be fair in terms of who they pick on. And I feel like some people who go to these shows think that, well, I got to hear them pick on it. And like you said, they have selective ears. They had a daughter who was a transgender, so they have an issue with it.
They weren't offended by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here's what's funny. This is just from my perspective of telling jokes on stage, but I do these jokes where I talk about when I was overweight, right? And then at the end of the jokes, I may have told this before, but at the end of the jokes, I say, look, that last one, some of y'all pulled back on a little bit. You maybe thought that was a little offensive, and I get it. Here's how comedy works. I have to tell you guys that I used to be fat before I tell you those fat jokes. Otherwise, you're like, this guy's a jerk just up there telling fat jokes because I'm not fat anymore.
Sure.
And so I say, so I get it. I understand. Anyway, so I used to be black. And so when I do that, if I do that in a mixed crowd, it gets a great response.
Uh-huh.
But if the crowd is all white or mostly white, it won't get a response because they're being offended for that for black people. When if I do that joke with black people in the crowd, they laugh at it. It's the weirdest dynamic right now, man. I don't understand that. Stop getting offended for people.
Let people handle their own business.
Yeah, be offended for yourself. Nobody else needs you to get upset for them.
There you go. And with that, we'll wrap up hour number one. It's a three-hour show. That means there's still two to go and plenty of opportunities for you to get involved. You can always text us and or call us, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. And we are available that way. Text more than calls today because we're on remote at Nick's place here on Rocky Ridge. And, of course, you can always reach us via Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. We're the usual suspects. Hour two coming up next on ESPN 97.5.